What is the point of a once-a-year celebration of consumption and excess in a society entirely dedicated to those broad buttock deities month in, month out? Each Christmas we eat too much, drink too much, and buy too much. So just what makes December different?
So asked Andrew Marr, the journalist and television presenter. Well, Andrew, Advent can make December different. For herein lies the gift of the Advent season, a season of preparation and reflection, a time to recall and remember the coming of Christ into the world. I hope you'll join me, Roy Searle, and some other companions of the Northumbria community as we journey through Advent. Each week we'll draw on some aspect of the Advent story, a story that was to change the world, a story that is deeply sacred, which punctures the secular mindset and consumerism of our contemporary society, offering us a story that deeply touches the human heart and brings life and transformation to those who hear and respond to its good news, and the prospect of hope and peace to a world in turbulent change. As in the days of the prophet Isaiah, these are turbulent days. We've witnessed a year of wars and the rumours of wars, conflict and the escalation of violence in the Middle East, regime changes, the dark clouds of the global economy remaining in a precarious state, with the waves of recession threatening the financial markets upon which Western culture is so dependent. Quick fixes instead of permanent solutions to deep-rooted problems try to stem the oncoming tide and fight off the threats to stability, not only to the markets, but to society itself. Economic recessions contribute to depressions, social unrest, and an increase in violence, and as history reminds us, is often followed by war. The disparity between rich and poor is increasing, and movements of protest and civil unrest are rising. Riots on the streets, industrial unrest, escalating unemployment, a disillusionment with politics and the political system, and a sense that many are paying for the folly of the few who cause such financial problems. Of course, the financial crisis is about more than money, and the protest camps that arose in cities around the world are an example of such, and they raise questions and issues that are uncomfortable for us all. The present financial crisis is also about ethics and morality, and casts an uncomfortable spotlight on the activities of bankers and the well-being of society as a whole. Institutions that were supposedly too big to fail have failed. I was listening to the radio the other week and felt a sharp pain in the pit of my stomach as a British businessman was enthusing about the opportunities and new markets that had opened up as a result of the Arab Spring. He'd attended a recent government-sponsored trade conference in London that saw British companies vying for what is euphemistically described as domestic and overseas defence procurements. The reality is that we continue to sell arms and weapons of mass destruction wherever the opportunity allows, and even with the tragedy and conflict in Iraq and Afghanistan, where weapons sold by British companies have been used to kill British troops, we find the business community celebrating its new trading opportunities. Or is that killing fields? Economically, politically, socially and globally, we are in trouble. And it is with these present realities and uneasy thoughts that we turn to Isaiah and our first Advent reading.
Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you, I will praise your name. For you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. For you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The palace of aliens is a city no more, it will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you, For you have been a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm, and a shade from the heat. When the blast of the ruthless was like a winter rainstorm, the noise of aliens like heat in a dry place, you subdued the heat with the shade of clouds. The song of the ruthless was stilled. On this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation.
The passage speaks about a city that symbolizes greed, violence, and injustice. As with the Tower of Babel, God has reduced it to ruins and revealed himself instead as a refuge to the poor. The story of Advent reminds us of the nature of the God whom we worship and whose image we shall see in Jesus. The God who will, let nobody be in doubt about this, overturn injustice, destroying the might and power of those who, being rich, neglect the poor. As Mary, the mother of Jesus, was to declare in her song of praise,
He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty.
Now, it's not the bits of the Bible that I don't understand that cause me difficulties. It's the bits of the Bible that are all too easily understood that present the greatest challenges. Could it be that our neglect of the poor, our failure to respond to what God requires, as declared by the prophet Micah, has brought upon us God's judgment?
He has told you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to love justice, to show kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?
I remember during the time I served as president of the Baptist Union, of the opportunity I had to be involved, as many did, in the Make Poverty History campaign. Meeting with some of our political leaders in Edinburgh days before the G8 summit, when our Prime Minister and Chancellor, in hosting the G8 Leaders' Conference, were spearheading a writing off of the entire $40 billion debt owed by 18 highly indebted poor countries, and also to address issues of trade justice and debt cancellation of other developing nations. I prayed, as many of us did, and yearned, perhaps naively, that we might have seen the opportunity to do what God required, to do justice, to show kindness, and bring life and hope to the peoples of the developing nations. Some measures were adopted, and some debts cleared, and these small measures have brought transformation to many, and is something for which we should give thanks for. But overwhelmingly, the G8 nations failed abysmally in their pledge to the world's poor. In the light of this week's Advent reading, could it be that we have brought upon ourselves the judgment of God? Now, G8 summits are wholly consumed by the global financial crisis. Could it be that the political, economic, social, and environmental crises that we are in is the harvest of what we've sown through greed and folly and injustice? The prophet Isaiah goes on to challenge any who take the future for granted in a disturbing passage outlined in chapter 28, a vivid description of how through greed, overindulgence, dishonesty and exploitation, and a failure to live as God intends, comes the inevitable consequence of crisis and catastrophe. Of course, with the nature of God being love, even in the midst of such ruin and chaos, we see an emerging hope and a vision of a different future, which we'll look at next week. But the challenge and disturbance of these passages can't be neglected or passed by. So this week our focus is on a familiar Advent theme, repentance. Repentance, a turning away and renouncing of those attitudes and actions that God condemns. A returning to God, a prayer and a seeking of God, the God of justice, that in his mercy he may forgive us and renew within us a right spirit. Oh, this is sober stuff that we can try and drown out with the noise and commercialism and frivolity that anesthetizes us from the realities of what we face. But our prayer this week, as we enter this Advent and engage with its story, is simply, Lord, have mercy.